What's going on? What's going on? This is Alex Pardo, and I'm about to come at you with episode 458. My friend, I want to take just a few minutes to share with you an opportunity where you and I can potentially get together to work on your real estate investing business to help get you unstuck, to do so in an environment of other successful, like-minded real estate investors and in a world-class setting. So if that has piqued your interest in any way, I want you to just take a few minutes to listen to what I have to say. So, you know, being born and raised in Miami, my family and I have always visited and spent some time in the Florida Keys. In fact, it's one of my favorite places in the world. And, you know, just in July, I spent my 40th birthday there with my family. We rented a nice house on the water, and I was talking to my wife and I said, you know, I'd love to share this with the right group of people. And I got to thinking, and so what I have decided to do is I am going to be renting a beautiful house on the water with a pool, and I'm going to host the first Flip Empire experience at this house. It's going to be for a very small, select group of people. It's going to be very intimate, probably somewhere between 8 and 12 people max, if that at all. And I just want to take an opportunity to share this with you. So if you have any interest at all in getting together with like-minded individuals, people that are going to walk alongside you, people that are going to hold you accountable, people that have already achieved a certain level of success in their business. You know, so if you're just getting started in this business, if you haven't done any deals, I really appreciate you. I love the fact that you're listening to this podcast, wanting to learn and to grow, but this is not for you. So this first Flip Empire experience is going to be, if you've already done deals, if you've already, if you're already making money and you want to, you know, as they say, take it to another level, and you want to do so, you want to network with the right people. You want to go deep on what's working, what's not working, and help you get unstuck, essentially remove any roadblocks or barriers that are preventing you from getting to, you know, from where you are today to where you want to go. And you want to do so in a place where people aren't going to judge you, and people are just going to, like, you know, help you essentially, help you get from where you are to where you want to go. And in some cases, it might be even something on the personal side that's masking itself as a business challenge, but it's actually a personal challenge. But if you see the value in that and you want to do so with the right people, in the Florida Keys in an amazing location, and you want to experience what this is all about, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to head over to flipempire.com/private. There's going to be a very, very short web form there. And that's going to essentially start the process where you and I can connect and see if ultimately this is the right fit. I will tell you, there is going to be an investment involved. It's not going to be anything crazy, $20,000, $25,000. It's not going to be anything like that. But if you're already doing deals, and if you know there's another level, if you know there's an opportunity where getting together in an inspiring location with the right people and just essentially removing anything that's preventing you from getting to where you want to go and help you accomplish your goals, head over to flipempire.com/private. And that's going to jumpstart the process essentially of us connecting and seeing if you are the right fit for the first Flip Empire experience that I'm going to be hosting. Really, really looking forward to it. Again, if you think this is for you, there's no commitments, no obligations. Just take a few minutes to fill out the web form, and you and I will connect on a call. I'll answer any questions you have and ultimately determine if this would make sense for both of us. So head over to flipempire.com/private. And if that's you, I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's up, guys? Trust that you are doing well today. And today's masterclass is, I think you're going to find it to be a pretty inspiring one. You know, many of us, especially the ones that are born here in the United States, and just even if you're not, but just sometimes we as human beings, we tend to complain about things that at the end of the day just don't really matter, right? And yet, you know, I think about someone that is in the Starbucks drive-through line and orders a, you know, a caramel frap, and they get to the you know, the window, and they get their iced or their frap latte, and they move on, and they look at the label and it's not caramel, it's pumpkin spice. And then they just start, like, complaining and whining and moaning, you know, and you think about that, and then you hear a story like Peter's. And I'm not going to spoil it for you because I want you to hear it from his mouth. But I want you, as you listen to his upbringing and his story, I want you to put yourself in his shoes and then ask yourself, what excuses am I telling myself, or what story am I telling myself about why I can or can't do something? Okay. And you're going to hear us talk so much about just his upbringing, coming from being raised in Poland and coming to the United States as a young boy, and how that shaped him and how that impacted him as an entrepreneur. We talk about the meaning that we give things. We talk about overcoming fear. We talk about the impact that coaching and mentorship has had in his life, and now how he is able to give back and coach others, and so much more that we get into. So I don't want to spoil this. I want to introduce you to my friend, my buddy, Polish Peter, aka Peter Kolat, in episode 458 here. Polish Peter, what's going on, my friend? How are you, bro?
Great, man. So glad to finally be on the Flip Empire show, man. I thought I'd have to, like, I don't know, another 10 years, but I finally made it here.
You know, I had to make you kind of work for it, man. You know, it's like when a guy's trying to get a girl, you know, the girl wants him. So I kind of had to make you just work for it, dude.
Okay, so I don't know about God trying to make a girl work, whatever you're saying there, but okay, I'll go with that. Fine.
So I'm glad that we started there, my friends, because so just to give you a little background and context, Peter and I have been friends probably since 2009, 2010, 2008, yeah. Somewhere around there. From what I recall, we had lunch at a Mexican restaurant inside the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas. I specifically remember having lunch with you, and this was probably 2008, 2009. Peter's just a brilliant marketer and a great guy, and he was involved in the real estate space back in 2008, 2009 when I got to know him, and we've just struck up a friendship, and we've maintained that friendship over the course of the last 12 years or so, and so he and I have this relationship where we just kind of go back and forth. We mess with each other, so there might be a little bit of like razzing and that kind of thing going on, so just bear with us. So, but no, man, in all seriousness, it is it's awesome to get you on the show.
I'm so glad to be here, man. I really appreciate it, seriously.
Yeah, thank you, man. So why don't we do this? Right over your left shoulder, I see Immigrant Masters Unite and Transform Lives, right? So I want to kind of start there because obviously they don't call you Polish Peter for nothing. You are from Poland. And so why don't you give us a background, you know, where you come from, you know, when you got to the United States. I want to dive into your mind because let me just kind of set the groundwork. I truly believe that immigrants have they have a big advantage that entrepreneurs that are from the U.S. don't have. And you might be hearing that and saying, well, actually, it's the opposite. They have a disadvantage because they don't have the resources. And I actually, from my perspective, Peter, I think it's a massive advantage that you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth, that you had to overcome a lot of obstacles and challenges. And you and I find that many immigrants, right, entrepreneurs have a lot of the same challenges, but that's what shapes them. That's what gives them their drive, their determination. So why don't we kind of start with your upbringing and how you ultimately transitioned into becoming an entrepreneur?
I mean, that's just totally true because, I mean, I don't know if you remember, but you've been on my podcast several times. It's interviewing the immigrants, and that is so true, man. We have so many advantages that a lot of people don't look at it. So my story going back to, you know, I was born in Poland. For the first 8 years, I lived in this 14 by 14 room. It was like a hotel because Poland was communist back then, right? Mm-hmm. And that was our living room, our bedroom, our like a playroom. There was a little kitchenette off to the side. And the bathrooms were literally down the hallway. You had to walk down the hallway. It was like everybody using the same toilet, same shower, and all that kind of stuff, right? So fast forward to about 8 years old, my parents got divorced. My dad was alcoholic, abusive. I remember, I mean, if you ask me about my memories of my dad, is nothing really good. I mean, I remember him having fun with me. I do remember him kicking my butt a lot of times, you know.
Oh, man.
He had this big belt that was a military belt. I got beat by that belt a few times, you know. But anyway, so my mom finally divorced him when I was 8 years old because it was just unbearable living that way. And when that happened, a lot of times what people would do back then, and I think to a point still do now, is United States was the land of opportunity, right? So she ended up coming to United States here to make some money for us because we were basically out on the street from that apartment. And I ended up with my sister living at my aunt's house. So from 8 to 14, I lived with my aunt and my uncle. And then when I was 14 years old, she came over for vacation. And about 2 weeks before she was going to come back here to United States from the vacation, she sits me and my sister down and she goes, guess what, kids? I'm like, what? Well, you're going back to the United States with me. I'm like, no, I'm not. She's like, yeah, you are. Well, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. Next thing I know, I'm on a plane, right? So I didn't want to come here just to be totally open with you, right? Because for me, as a 14-year-old kid, my life was finally good over there. I had friends. I had, we were in this dance group that I was traveling across the United States. You didn't know that, did you? That I was in the dance group, singer, dancing?
Well, but you know what you've done now, right? At some point before we hop off this podcast, you're going to stand up and show us some of those dance moves. So go ahead. Keep going.
I might have to distract you a little bit, okay? So we don't go there, okay?
Okay, all right.
Because that was, if you Google, I don't know if you even Google me, I don't think anything's going to pop up. But anyway, so moving forward, I finally got here, didn't speak any English, right? So that period, by the way, from when I finally got here and I said, okay, let's do this thing, learning the English, right? For the first 6 months, I just sat in a classroom and when they called my name, I said, here. So they know that I'm actually, my attendance is good, right? Uh-huh. But had to learn the language, then I had to find new friends, had to step out of my comfort zone a lot because I had to go and talk to different people, right? Be in a completely different environment, different culture.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about culture. And by the way, when I was on a plane here to the United States, I watched two movies. What's first that? One was Coming to America.
Yes.
You know right? What? I'm gonna Eddie Murphy.
I'm going to cut myself off. So go ahead.
Right. And the second one was Beverly Hills Cop 2 when he was in Hollywood, right? In Beverly Hills.
Wow.
Eddie Murphy. Both Eddie Murphy movies, right?
Yep.
So my view of United States was palm trees, big skyscrapers, beautiful skies, beautiful cities, beautiful cars, sports cars, beautiful women, 14-year-old kid, beautiful women, that was like, okay, that's something to actually maybe something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And then I end up in Detroit. So go figure, where are the palm trees and all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of culture shift for me.
Right.
Right. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people who are coming into United States, the immigrants, become successful is because just by doing that, right? A lot of them come here, they literally have nothing, the suitcase in their hand, just going through that process alone had to break through a lot of fears, right? Had to get very uncomfortable.
Of course.
So then moving forward in life, you're like, well, if I did that, what else can I do? Right.
Exactly.
So, and I think that is, I just interviewed somebody on a podcast, on my own podcast, and they talked about, the diversity that we have, right? That, stepping out in the comfort zone, the fear that we overcame and all that kind of stuff. That helps in business, growth. So making a long story short, I started, living here, became an architect, developed a lot of real estate in Michigan. Then when 2008 came around, what happened back then, right?
Yeah.
That whole thing dried up and I started my own company where it was more of like the marketing, business development, things like that. And today it evolved into a coaching and I do a lot of coaching for business owners because that is my true calling. I truly believe that I've been put on this earth by God to be a coach because I get to do this stuff every single day.
Yeah. And you're so good at it. And we're definitely going to dive into that, but I want to hit the rewind button. There's so much to unpack there. 14 years, your mom decides to put you and your sister on a plane to live in the United States, correct?
Yep.
You had never been to the United States. Had you ever even been on a plane at that point?
That was the first time on the plane. In fact, listen, this is a funny story. So I got on a plane, we're sitting on a plane, and this is a 12-hour flight, I think 11-hour flight at the time. And I had to go to the bathroom, right? So I go in the bathroom, I do my business, and I flush the toilet. You know the noise that it makes?
Like suction, yeah.
Yeah, I thought I broke the plane. I thought I made a hole in the plane. I literally was in a bathroom for like 15, 20 minutes, scared that I put a hole in the plane, and nobody's going to find out. Then I walked to my seat, sat, not moving for probably a couple hours, just hoping nobody finds out, you know?
Bro, that might be the funniest plane story I think I've ever heard. And I could totally see it. Imagine 14 years old, you've never been on a plane, you're going to a foreign country, and you think you put a hole in the friggin' plane because you flushed the toilet. Yeah. Hysterical, man. How old was your sister, Peter?
She's 5 years younger, so she was like 9.
Dude, so you were like the man in that situation. So not only are you... I'm just trying to put myself in your position, and I don't even know what I would be feeling other than just being frightened, being scared, being anxious, and all those negative emotions, right? 14 years old, you're moving to a foreign country. You have your baby 9-year-old sister with you. How good was your English at that point?
No English. English at all. Nothing.
No English.
No.
How did you overcome that fear, dude?
Well, I mean, what I think, you know, thinking back to that time, you finally at some point accept it. Okay, this is happening, right? And I think that's what is fear allow for people. When the fear pops up, when you're dealing with that, it's because you don't accept it, right? You're resisting it. You keep thinking about it, right? So keep resisting it. That fear is still there.
Yeah.
But at some point, I just accept it. I'm like, okay, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it because I'm on a plane landing over there. Well, let's figure out how to make this work. So I just started taking little steps here and there, because literally I just had my anniversary not too long ago because I ended up in Michigan on Labor Day.
Okay.
So this was a Monday, right? Labor Day, Monday.
What year was
September 3rd, 91.
91. Okay.
Yeah. So when I came here the next day, which was a Tuesday, went to high school to take tests so they can figure out where am I at, you know, English and, and, you know, math and all that kind of stuff, right? So I just started looking from little baby steps and just like put myself in that situation, looking, what's next, what's next, what's next, you know? Because if I start looking at like way into the future and what I don't have, because for a while there, I was kind of peed off at the whole thing because the dance group that I mentioned before, we just started being recognized internationally. You know, we were traveling like that May of that year. We went to France. We were on a big, you know, 10-day kind of a concert. We did a whole bunch of things. So we started getting recognized and traveling across the world. And my cousin was in that group too. And then afterwards, you know, when he came here and he said, man, this guy saw, he danced in front of the Pope. Remember, John Paul II was the Pope at that time. He danced in front of him 3 times. He visited all kinds of different countries. So for me, the more I thought about that, it would upset me.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about, okay, what's next? What's the opportunity that I could have here? What can I do something here as a 14-year-old kid, right? So I got into soccer because I knew that. So I started playing soccer. And you make another friend. And before you know it, you start kind of living that life.
So, Peter, wait a second. You're telling me that at 14 years old, you had the... you were just mature enough where you were actually thinking, hey, what is the opportunity here? How can I learn and grow from this? Because I got to tell you, man, at 14 years old, I wouldn't have had that level of maturity.
Not consciously, man. I don't think I did that consciously, you know, looking back, because now what I know with all the stuff that I've actually experienced in life, I know consciously that I can switch that on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back then, it was just like, because I'm an optimist, right?
You are.
So back then, I just, well, okay, well, let's look at what I can get out of this. What can I do, right? Mm-hmm. Turning on the TV and I see 20,000 channels. When I came from like 2 channels, I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. Don't understand anything they say, but, you know, what can I get out of this, right? So I started watching, came on football, and I'm like, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a sport is that, right? And I quickly switched because here's one of here, another funny story. So I'm looking watching football. And I'm looking at them. I've never seen football before, right? So I'm looking at them like, why are they playing with a ball that's not round? I mean, you know how to make a round ball. Why would you play with an egg-shaped ball, right? That bounces all over the place. It's stupid, right? And then I'm looking and the quarterback, you know, they get up to the line of scrimmage. And I'm like, what the hell? This guy is putting his hands between that guy's legs. Okay, I'm out of here. I switched off and I went to a different, because I'm like, this is just too weird. What kind of sport is this?
Bro, so, you cracked me up, dude.
But it's just, you know, looking for different things, you know, anchor something that you can be familiar with, right? For me, it was hockey. So I started watching hockey, you know, and start learning from that perspective.
And how about your sister, man? What was she like? Because she had to have been going through the same doubt, fears, and
she had a lot worse, I think, because of the fact that she was younger. You know, a kid, 9-year-olds. You know, she was resisting it for a lot longer, I think, than me. You know, because I'll be honest with you, I don't know if she's ever going to watch this, but she was a princess. Like growing up with my aunt and my uncle, she couldn't do anything wrong. So she was princess. So now all of a sudden, princess went away.
Yeah.
Now you get into this and it's a different environment, different thing, you know. And by the way, she literally didn't know my mom at all. Because my mom, when she left Poland, was, 9, 6 years. So she was what? My calculation is 3 years old for her, right? Yeah. And I was 8, so she didn't really know it. I kind of knew my mom, so it was like living with a stranger a little bit
for her. Yeah. So. Wow, man, incredible. I just have so much respect and just admiration for what you had to endure and go through as a kid. Let me, as we start to kind of transition into your entrepreneurial journey, maybe this is a way to bridge the gap. Mm-hmm. How would you say, Peter, that experience, you know, growing up in a 14 by 14 essentially house, right? And you're sharing bathrooms and then, you know, having an abusive father and getting through that. And then, you know, being put on a plane for the first time at 14 years old, being now the man of the house, quote unquote. How has all that, your childhood, shaped you? And how has it helped you in your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, that's a great question, man, because I thought about that before and how does that actually work? I always thought I had this kind of an entrepreneur bug in me. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason for that is because most of my, outside of living with my aunt and my uncle between ages 8 and 14, I was always put in situations where I had to think on my feet.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I remember one scenario where I went to the bathroom when we were still living, and I'm coming back from the bathroom and I see my dad drunk trying to get inside the room because my mom was on the other side, you know, and he's drunk and banging on the door and he got some tools and he's taking the door off, you know, trying to get in. So I literally had to think on my feet, right? Like, what do I do? So I tried to, and if I really think about it, I was like persuasive with him because I started chit-chatting with him. I'm like, hey, Dad, what are you doing? How are you doing? And then I swiped the tools and ran away, right? So I think looking back through all those different situations and starting to see like, okay, thinking on your feet, right? Being in uncomfortable situations, being able to adapt, right? And looking at like, you know, what's the opportunity thing? Because here's the thing, being an optimist, I always kind of looked at, okay, it could be worse. Mm-hmm. It could always be worse, right? And if you know anything about immigrants, my story is not all that crazy, man. I've heard stories from somebody who, you know, Tim. I'm not going to mention the last name here, but this guy came, literally escaped on the little fishing boat in the middle of the ocean with 30 other people, on the, you know, like laying like sardines. And somebody ever going to find me, right? Yeah. You have no idea, right? How that's going to, he got picked up by pirates, I think, at one point. Mm-hmm. So there's always somebody who's got it worse. So looking at those kinds of things, and adapting to different situations, I think that's really helped me to. And the other thing is persistence, man. I hate giving up. And that's one of the biggest things that I think has helped me to grow in my business, because I don't give up very easily.
Right.
I'll keep going, trying to figure out a different way, different way, different way, different way. And you know, in business, you gotta have that, right?
Absolutely. No doubt. You got to have that perseverance and that fight. Do you think that's something you were born with, or you think that's something you developed early on as a child?
I think you develop it, man. I mean, think about it. You're a little baby. I mean, what kind of perseverance do you have? Not to crap on yourself? I don't know. You know?
True, though.
Yeah.
All right. And that's important, by the way. You don't want to walk around with, you know, just moist pants and stuff. So, but man, dude, again, I just I'm having a hard time. I have empathy. And empathy sounds like I have like pity. It's not pity. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes because I don't think I would have dealt with it nearly as good as you did, you know, not speaking a language and all that. And you kind of just glossed over the fact that then, like, you know, obviously you're 14 and, you know, several years later you became an architect, and that's not an easy feat in and of itself. How long did it take you to learn the English language?
Well, I will say about 10 months in, I could understand English. And if you can think about it, somebody would say something in English, right? I would, in my head, translate it back to Polish, then figure out what I'm going to answer, and then try to formulate the words back to them in English. So it took a little while, but I could understand it, right? You know, one of the first things that you, I don't know if you're aware of this, but, you know, speaking, when you go to a different country and they start speaking their own language, it's all like one big mumbo jumbo, right? It's just one big continuation. So the first thing, you had to separate the words and then you start learning it. But about, I wouldn't say a year and a half in, probably I could speak, you know, I still was thinking in Polish, but I was able to speak and communicate with people.
Right, right. So you became an architect, and that was obviously, I would imagine, your introduction into the world of real estate, correct?
That was it, I mean, I did a lot of developments, everything from multifamily to churches to, you know, big developments, industrial, commercial stuff, senior housing developments, all kinds of stuff like that.
Got it. So how did you transition from that into becoming a real estate investor and then ultimately like a really, really good marketer?
Well, what if you really think about it, because I've adapted, right? Look at what's going on right now with the whole COVID. People who are making it is the ones who adapt to pivot.
No doubt.
Right? People who go and retract, who go into, hate to say, in hiding kind of thing, those are the people who have a hard time.
Yeah.
But the ones who adapt, they go and move forward, right? So, you know, when the 2008 came around, with the whole thing hit, I've looked at how do I adapt, because real estate dried up completely here. I mean, I remember we were developing in 2008. Michigan got hit really hard, by the way, because of the big three, right? But I remember we were developing this big senior housing. It was like a square mile, and there was like three other developers who were doing single family houses and duplexes. And dude, all you had to do is put on a door or on a paint or whatever on that house, and it would have been done. And these guys literally picked up and left because they couldn't get rid of them, right? They just left them. So at that particular point, I'm like, well, how do I pivot? What do I do? And I looked at different industries and looked at my strengths, right? What's really good for me? Creativity. Because in order to be a real estate guy, you need to like look at creative financing, right? Yeah. Or you're looking at being an architect. You got to be creative.
You're a problem solver.
Yeah. And start looking at that. And then I pivoted over to the online world because that was, you know, starting to pick up a lot more. And and I started looking at marketing because we're all marketers. We're always selling and being creative. I love doing that. And I knew the real estate industry. So that's why I was went in there and started helping other real estate people grow their businesses in that particular time. Because guess what? That was the biggest need right there.
Yeah.
Because all the stuff dried up. But that's the ones who start doubling down on marketing in those kinds of times are the ones who are starting making it happen.
So you were working, you were helping other real estate investors with their lead gen efforts, essentially?
That's basically it. And building out the funnels and sites and stuff like that,
Okay. Okay. Got it. Got it. And yeah, and now today, man, I know I've come to you for some marketing questions. I mean, you're just really, really good. Like you understand direct response marketing. And you know, for those of you listening and watching this, there's two areas that I think you always need to maintain focus on, and that's marketing and sales. You know, you focus on those two areas and you learn that, you will never go broke or starve a day in your life, because no matter what business you're in, it requires marketing and sales. You know what I mean? And so, and I think obviously that's something that you learned early on. Did you have a mentor or a coach back then, or were you kind of going at this alone?
Well, so back then when I first started, coaches, mentors are the ones through like the books, courses, and everything. I never had anybody directly because I was, I'll be honest, too cheap to do it back then, right? In retrospect, knowing what I know now, I should have gotten that coach or mentor a lot sooner.
Elaborate on that.
Well, one thing that I find for people when they are starting their businesses or they are, you know, a little bit in their business and they're trying to get to the next level, one of the first things that I would tell you to go and do is get yourself a mentor. Someone who's been there, done that, or a coach to help you, because that's, you know, I coach a lot of people in today's world. And I just had a coaching conversation right before you here. And I said something to my student that completely shifted her view of her situation. And all of a sudden, she sees an answer of how to keep moving forward, right? Yeah. How to take a next action. And when you're doing it by yourself, you're not going to be able to find it in the book.
Yeah.
A lot of times, right? You're not going to be able to find it from your family or friends, because guess what? most of the time your family and friends are going to be like, Johnny, you are so good. Keep trying. We're a go boy, right? They're being nice, not to be, you know, mean to you or anything like that, but they want to, you know, help you out.
Whereas the mentor or a coach. Or the opposite, Peter. In some cases, you know, you have the people most closest to you are the ones that are the naysayers and say, hey, you can't do it. Go get a job and go do this. So you're both, you know, the two sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, because you had that for you, right?
I mean, I was pretty fortunate that my parents, they always supported me for the most part, you know. So I was pretty fortunate from that regard. Like, obviously, my parents, I was the first entrepreneur in my family, but I was fortunate that I never had what I did have was, hey, go to school and get a good job. I had that type of philosophy and mentality instilled in me. But when I decided to do my own thing, I didn't have them trying to drag me down. So I was fortunate from that perspective.
So when you went entrepreneurial, they supported you that way too?
They did think I was a little crazy to leave, you know.
Well, you're crazy anyways. I mean,
I'm a little crazy, yeah. But no, I mean, at 24 years old, you know, working for General Electric, making 50 grand a year, they're like, you're crazy to leave that job, such a great company. But they didn't not support me in what I wanted to do. So there's that.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a great point because, you know, the people in your life who are the closest to you, who you value their opinion the most, will have the biggest influence in your life.
Yeah,
right? So whether it's your parents, whether it's, you know, like the mentors, right? Or I'm a coaching students. Some of my students don't have the best environment, right? That they're in. So having somebody to keep pulling you and encouraging you and, you know, giving you different perspectives can help you get to the next level a lot quicker. I mean, look at Think and Grow Rich, man, the book, right? That one book impacted my life like you would not believe.
Yep.
And one of the reasons why, you know, think about it. In there, he talks about the mastermind principle, right? And that is, I know you have that book, so because we all have it. Yeah, awesome book, man.
It's highlighted and marked up in so many places. I mean, one of the first personal development books I ever read.
That is my first book. When I was in college and I started looking at different things, right? That's the book that I read. That was the first one. The second one was Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Yeah.
Because what intrigued me, I'm like, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I didn't even have a dad. So what the hell is he talking about, right?
What a great title, right? By the way, this is something that we have in common as well. This Think and Grow Rich, which I'm holding in my hand, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or any other platform, was my first book. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was my second book. So we have that in common. But you know, you bring up such a valuable point that, you know, if you're listening to this or watching this and you're thinking to yourself, I can't afford a coach or a mentor. Number one, as a side note, that's your first challenge, is you're thinking about the question the wrong way. You need to switch that to how can I, not I can't, right? What you tell yourself becomes your reality. Number two, even if you're not in a position where you can work with the right person, the books you read, the things you watch on YouTube or TV or whatever, the environment that you put yourself in, that all has a massive influence on your mindset and ultimately your actions, right? Because what is it? Our thoughts lead to our feelings, our feelings lead to our actions. So talk a little bit about that, because obviously I know that, you know, you talked about being too cheap back then, but knowing what you know now, I mean, it's the best investment you can make in yourself.
Yeah. And you know what, one of the things that I've learned, you know, when you talked about, you know, what are spending money on a, you know, the mentor or a coach, right? And even if it's outside of your comfort zone because you don't have it. I had a conversation one time with someone and they told me that. And I'm like, he says, well, when I do this, when I get the flip, when I have the plan, then I'll come to you and get your, you know, advice, right? I said, well, listen, consider this. If you had the advice, you would have the plan to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. It's a flipped mindset, right? That when I get that, then I can do that, right? And that happens a lot for people. Like, when I'm 50, then I can go on this trip, right? And when I, you know, get this flip, then I can get a coach. Well, if you had a coach, you would be able to get all that, right? Mm-hmm. It's a different perspective to look at. So that's one thing. A second thing about this whole mindset, because you know that I'm a big mindset guy.
Yeah.
What you think is what you're focusing on. One of my favorite quotes I live by, that's Tony Robbins' coach, he's my mentor, is where focus goes, energy flows. Because literally, it's been proven scientifically. What you think, right, it starts to go and you create meanings out of this, mm-hmm. right? If you start thinking like, man, I suck, right? What does that mean about you now? Well, that means that you are a bad person, that you're not going to achieve things and all that kind of stuff, right? So those meanings are starting to create, because your brain, the way it sets up your meanings, brings up different emotions, because it sends the signals to your nervous system for what is it, the response, right? Based on that meaning. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you start feeling bad. All of a sudden you start feeling sad, right? Because literally your emotions are caused by the chemicals in your body. And based on whether you want to be happy, you have different chemical that gets released basically, versus when you are sad, different chemical, right? You got cortisol, all that kind of stuff, right?
Dopamine.
Yeah. So it goes to, and then based on those emotions, you take different actions.
That's right.
So if you're sad, guess what? You're going to be not doing anything, or you're going to be depressed, or you're not going to do different things. You're just going to, or if you're happy, excited, you're going to start doing different things, right? So a lot of people start using this back in the day, like when I first started learning about this, I started looking, okay, how do I fix this? So I start taking different actions. But if you're sad, you're depressed, taking different actions is not going to make that much difference.
Right.
Because pretty soon you're going to go back to being that sad, or, and the action is not going to come up that way.
Yeah.
But if you change the meaning, let's say about you, about your life, all of a sudden the different chemicals get released. You start feeling different way. You start experiencing life different way. And before you know, you start making things happen in a different way.
Drill down a little bit. It does make sense to me, but I, for somebody listening that just didn't fully grasp that, can you drill down a little bit more? And I think that the pivotal, moment or phrase that you said was when you change the meaning to it.
Yeah.
Talk about that, because you and I both know that, just through the people that we coach and in our own experience, mm-hmm. life and business, oftentimes the meaning that you give something has power over you.
Yes.
So talk about that.
Well, I'll go start with this sentence, and I want you guys to kind of look at it, consider that might be true. And that is that we are a meaning-making freaking machines. Like, we make meanings about everything. The stories. If you ask somebody, like, something bad happened, you ask somebody, or something good happened, you ask them, what happened? What's the first thing they go into? They go into a story, right? Because it's, like, you had an accident, let's say, on the side of the road. You don't say, I had an accident and that's it. You explain to the person what happened and how this person did this, and they blew a red light, and they weren't paying attention, and now I'm this, and all kinds of stuff, right? So it's the story and the meaning that we assess based on our experiences, based on the circumstances that we grew up in, right? That are shaping how we experience life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons is because in your brain, you have this thing called reticular
activating system.
RAS, activating system. Uh-huh. And what that basically means is your brain is designed such a way to only focus on a portion of your life.
Yeah.
Because if you weren't be able to focus on a portion of your life, you would be experiencing everything. And within seconds, you probably go nuts, because you'll be experiencing that wind that is blowing, right? How you're breathing, how your skin is feeling right now, right? And what's happening in the background, right? And what's happening outside, the little squirrels that are running, everything, right? So your brain is designed to focus on certain portion so you don't go nuts. So, and give you an example is, when you are looking to, let's say, buy a Cadillac and you've never had a Cadillac and you start thinking about it, all of a sudden you see Cadillacs all over the place.
That's right.
They've been there all the time, but for some reason you didn't see them, right? Mm-hmm. So why am I saying this? It's because that meaning that you assess is part of that RAS. So if you went and shifted over to the different meaning for whatever that situation, meaning like you were just in the accident, right? Mm-hmm. And you can start saying, man, I just got in the accident, but I'm so blessed because I walked away from it. And the other person got really hurt, but guess what? They were taken care of. And now, now I was so complaining about the car, and now I can actually have a different car or whatever it might be, right?
Yep.
All of a sudden you have said different meaning. Mm-hmm. And now the experience of that and how you're going to take actions moving forward are going to be different.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, life is all about perspective, right? It's all about, and here's the beauty of it. We have the choice to see things for what they are and to assign empowering meanings to it, you know? And by the way, we're all guilty, Peter. Sometimes it's, you know, you go out and you get in an accident and it's tough, man, because nobody wants to be in an accident, right? Mm-hmm. But it happened and you can't change that. But what you can change is your actions and your thoughts and your feelings moving forward. Maybe that action is the biggest blessing in disguise because it was preventing you from getting in an accident that was going to take your life half an hour later, right? Like right. You just don't know that there's bigger things mm-hmm. at play. And so it's all about perspective. It really is. And that's what I'm hoping, Peter, from this podcast episode, more than anything, that's why I really wanted to go kind of deeper into your story than I normally go when I interview someone, because, you know, you've had to overcome things that so many people have not had to. And you also said it best, you know, sometimes our worst days are someone else's dream days. Yeah. You know, someone always has it worse. And mm-hmm. what I'm hoping people really glean from your story is that you never got in victim mode. And if you did, you didn't allow yourself to be there for a very long time. It was always about, how do I adjust? How do I think quick on my feet? How do I remain persistent? How can I make the best of the situation? You know, being confident, like those are all things that make you who you are today. And it's no, you know, it's why you're successful, not just as an entrepreneur, but as a coach. So talking about the importance of coaching, talk a little bit about now, you know, you mentioned at the top of the show, that being your calling. Yeah. Talk about what you do as a coach for your clients.
Well, what I do, by the way, you said something really important. I just want to go back, man. Okay. Being the victim mentality. Uh-huh. That is such a powerful concept. And if you actually look at and see for yourself, whether you're a victim mentality or the other way, it can really change your perspective to how you go about in life, you know? Uh-huh. So that's a great point to actually make sure that doesn't get missed. So as far as coaching, I mean, what I do for people, first, when they come into my coaching, we help them develop the vision for your life. And you know this very well. And here's the thing. The reason why we do that, and that was news for me a few years ago. Everybody tells you how to create a business plan. Everybody yeah. tells you that you have the business plan and business. And guess what? If you know the business, all of a sudden you might be doing well in business, or you might be doing 100 hours in business. And before you know it, life doesn't work the way you want it to.
Yeah.
Nobody tells you about having the plan for your life.
That's right.
So creating the plan for your life, right? What the life looks like, the ultimate life that you want to live, and then seeing how do I align my business to fit within that life. So you're living for the life and the business is like the vehicle that's going to help you get there. Now there is a paradigm shift and you're like, what? Right? So that's a really cool thing. And then basically, as I coach them having conversation, I am a big believer on mindset. So uh-huh. most of my conversation with my students about shifting their mindset yeah. and you know, getting them to take the right actions. And then we go into actually what's the next thing that you need to do to fulfill on that vision.
That's right.
And when they have this, all of a sudden, one of my students just now, I just had a conversation with her. She lives in Florida because that was part of her vision. She just got herself the house, that the price that she wanted and the place that she wanted. And now and she's rocking things out that way. She's taking yeah. actions, right? Yeah. But what shifted, because, you know, for her is the mindset. Once you switch this here, you'll be shocked how your life starts to work in a more powerful, amazing way.
No doubt. And a really good coach, which you are, Peter, helps you maximize your potential. They yeah. give you perspective and insight sometimes when you don't have it. And, you know, when you're in it, when you're listening to the show, chances are you're an entrepreneur, you know, and you have dreams and aspirations and you have you're highly ambitious, right? When you're in it, sometimes it's that saying, I always reverse it, but you can't see the forest from the trees or the trees from the forest. And yeah. you need someone to kind of give you the big picture, someone that's watching over you and identifying your blind spots, because we all have blind spots. I don't care yeah. who you are. We all have them, right? And so that's why for, you know, man, I don't know, over 13, 14 years, I've had a coach, and I always will have a coach. You know, I couldn't imagine, you know, take COVID, for example. When COVID came, I couldn't imagine not having someone to look up to and have conversations with, a coach, not being part of a community, of a mastermind like you and I both are, mm-hmm. to get insight and perspective on, hey, what's going on? How are you seeing things? How are you adjusting? How are you transitioning this? I'm dealing with, you know, I'm quarantined and I'm starting to go crazy. How, like, you know what I mean? We're human and we all have these thoughts. And so you need I always believe that you should have one hand up to a coach or a mentor, and you should have one hand, you know, sideways or down, helping someone come up as well.
Yeah, you know? I think that, yeah, great point, man, because a couple of things that you just mentioned and I just heard from you sharing is, one, that coach can help you see outside of that forest, and that's an important thing, because when you literally can't see it when you're in the middle of it, right? And the cool thing is, because that coach has been there, done that, he can lead you to get out of that forest, because you can literally walk through and hit every single tree in the forest, right? Or you can have the coach that's going to show you the road to get out of the forest much quicker, right? Mm-hmm. And the other aspect is, sometimes, depending on my students, I am known in the community that I'm part of that I can be very frank with people, right? Because I'll ask them, you know, they come on my coaching call, I'll ask them, listen, what don't you want to talk about? And that is one of those questions that kind of like shakes the person up and like, what? But that's where the breakthroughs happen, right?
That's right.
That's where all those breakthroughs happen and to get them to the next level. So I'm so blessed that I get to do this, man. I feel like I'm the guy who just goes in and helps people uncover the true, who they truly are deep down inside. They like peel those onions, right? To get that true person out. And once they get out of that, all the crap that's been put on them over the years, and they uncover that, they'll make amazing things happen.
So, yeah. Beautiful thing, man. I love it. Last couple of questions before we get you out of here. Immigrant Masters Unite, talk about your podcast.
So the podcast is basically, I go and find successful immigrant business owners, entrepreneurs, first or second generation, and I just dive deep in, dissect them and figure out and strategize what made them successful, right? Yeah. And so just having great conversations and allowing people to see for themselves, how can I use it in my own life? How can I apply it to my own life? And if somebody's done this, all of a sudden, sometimes you see, man, I can do that too. And that's what the podcast is about.
This may be a difficult question to answer, or maybe not, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Think about all the successful immigrant entrepreneurs that you have interviewed throughout the years. If you had to boil it down to one thing that you felt made them successful, something that you've taken from conversations you've had with all these people, and you can only choose one thing, what would you say it is?
Well, that is a tough question because there are so many. I'll say what pops into my head right now is never give up. The resilience, right? That resilience, never give up, keep moving forward, just have this thing, and I'm just going to keep moving forward. Whatever happens, I'm just going to get through it, around it, over it, wherever it might be, right?
Amazing.
And I think that's the thing.
And you embody that, brother. So I really want to just recognize you here publicly on this platform for your perseverance, for your drive, for your commitment to excellence, and your desire to be a go-giver and help people, man. You're making a big impact on people's life. I think I mentioned this when I was on your podcast, but you know, and I highly encourage, what we'll do is we'll link up that podcast and also Peter's podcast in the show notes so you guys can check it out. But Peter sent me like a 2 or 3 minute video message earlier this year. And he must have had just the intuition. Maybe it was God telling him to do it. I'll let him kind of tell you his version of the story, but it was at the right time for me. I was going through something and I don't even remember specifically what it was, but I remember I wasn't like high energy at that point. Like I was, and he mentioned something about, you know, when we're constantly pouring out into people's lives and you're giving, sometimes you need to refill your cup. So that's the kind of guy Peter is. And I share that story just because, you know, when you have that intuition, that gut, that tap on the shoulder that you should connect with someone or you should make a phone call or send a text or an email or do it, because you don't know what kind of impact that can have on someone's life, especially at that moment.
I appreciate you saying that, man, brother, because I mean, I love you, man. You're an awesome human being. And I just want to contribute to your life as much as I can. And other people's lives. And for the listeners here, man, listen to the nudge. When you have that nudge, right? And we all have those little nudges. Listen to the nudge and take action right in that moment, right? Go right in that moment. If you are someone who's of faith, right? If you believe in God or the creator, whatever, consider that's a nudge from him.
Yep.
And go over there and just take action, because you never know what kind of impact you can have.
Yep, completely agree with you. So, Peter, best place to connect with you. I got it up on the screen if you happen to be watching this on YouTube or somewhere else. But is this the best place? Your email, peter@mastersunite.com?
Yep, that's my actual secret email. So you got the secret email. peter@mastersunite.com, yeah.
It's not so secret anymore, my man. So
I guess not. With your podcast, nope, it's not happening.
Polish Peter, man. By the way, who gave you that nickname? Or did you give it to yourself?
Well, so I think it was... If I remember, somebody said it in one of the retreats, and then they kind of stuck with, you know what I mean? It started with Polish Tony, reference to, you know, somebody mentioned Polish Tony, like the Tony Robbins, because that's how I operate with my coaching and all that kind of stuff, right? And then like Polish Tony, Polish Peter, you know, and that's how it started off with.
What if we just shortened it and called you PP from now on?
Listen, let's bleep that part out. I don't want anybody going out there, but actually there has been rumors. Somebody that you know very well started that already too.
Oh, so, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. There's a thing, because I run events for Life on Air, remember? Uh-huh. And so I was like a captain. So we captain PP.
PP. Yeah. Or we could just call it Polish PP. No, I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. I'm just messing with you, my man. You know, I warned people at the top of the show. We had to kind of sandwich the show with like just a little messing around in the beginning.
That's cool, man. Bring it on.
Awesome, man. Hey,
nothing like coming from a Cuban, man.
There you go. A Cuban and a Polack on a podcast.
That's right.
That sounds like the beginning of a joke or something. So
walking the bar, right?
There you go. Hey, man. Really appreciate your friendship and thank you for. Dude, I've known you for 12 years and I didn't know your story in that with that level of detail. Wow. So thank you for sharing that, man. That's incredible. Again, I could not imagine what you went through, and the fact that you're here just gives me that much more respect for you. So thank you, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Same here, man. You're an awesome human being and I'm so blessed to be able to do this, man. The fact that I'm sitting here, would have thunk, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. I hear you, man. I hear you. So my friends, thank you for taking the time to listen/watch this episode. Peter at mastersunite.com. Check out his podcast. We'll link it up in the show notes page. And if there's anything I can do for you, any topic or area or particular person you want me to interview in the show, reach out to me, alex@flipempire.com. You can always go on the website and hit the Ask Alex link and just connect with me because I want to engage with you. I want to start a dialogue. I want to build relationships. And to me, that's what it's all about. So this podcast is just an extension of that. So thank you for subscribing, for listening. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next one. Have a great one.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.